It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A little over a year ago, a nonprofit Wisconsin-based law firm partnered with free clinics around the state to ensure low-income families had access to eligible health care programs, including Wisconsin's Badger Care.
ABC for Health found that 55% of patients facing legal or administrative obstacles to health care coverage were Spanish speakers, and some of the patients were wrongfully denied coverage. Bryn McBride is Chief Operating Officer and Public Interest Attorney for ABC for Health. Bryn, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be with you.
What were some of the problems? What were some of the stories you were hearing out there when it came to lack of health coverage that led you to start this partnership?
Sure. Lack of insurance, people being uninsured, lacking access to healthcare coverage, whether that be Badger Care Plus, Medicaid, private insurance. That means skipped care, delayed care, maybe denied care, and maybe for sure medical debt. So those were the stories we had been hearing. What came to us was an opportunity to do a legal services intervention. And we said, all these programs of healthcare coverage are based in laws and rules and regulations. So there's a legal services answer here to put our expertise to work and try to meet this new population of Wisconsinites that could use some help trying to overcome these barriers and that red tape.
What does this all look like in practice? What are you and your partner organizations doing to help people get access to healthcare that they may be entitled to in the first place?
It started with a workflow change, partnering with some free and charitable clinics. We had a very strong partnership with the Wisconsin Association of Free and Charitable Clinics, and they helped us identify a sampling of clinics, just 10 of their many members. And we said, we're going to do a workflow change. We're going to have you start issue spotting patients that come through your doors. And for a free or charitable clinic that's using volunteer doctors or retired physicians, maybe they're a faith-based free clinic. They were seeing people that maybe had recently been to the emergency room or had children in the home or had unpaid medical bills. And we help them identify those as good referrals to ABC for Health for a legal services intervention. But then it also needed to be a little bit of some knowledge building and some technology to make this all work. So weekly meetings, weekly learning sessions with our clinics, how to spot a good patient referral, what some of the program rules look like so we can make sure people aren't being wrongfully denied and we can catch them, get them connected to coverage and then the care that they also need and deserve.
As I understand it, Bryn, it's been just over a year since your first patient was referred. Have you seen since then patterns in the kind of people who were being denied various kinds of assistance? What has stood out to you?
Sure. Yeah, we took our first patient referral on March 1st of 2023. So it's been just over a year. It's been just about 1,000 individuals that we've served in that amount of time. A large percentage, no income, obviously, because they're going to a free or charitable clinic, which has an income means tested eligibility in the first place. A large number of uninsured, like we expected. Some free and charitable clinics will accept a payment source such as Medicaid or private insurance, but most of them won't. So there is a threshold of uninsurance to be using a free clinic. And then what surprised us was more on the some of the other eligibility criteria. A lot of families that had children in the home, a lot of families that maybe were Spanish speaker or speaking a language other than English, and that alone was a barrier, traditional health care coverage. And then a large portion of people that were uninsured and maybe wrongfully uninsured. You know, one of the things we've just been through and we're almost done with in the state of Wisconsin right now is this whole transition of Medicaid unwinding. People were held in their Medicaid coverage during the COVID pandemic, but now we're in that period of reassessing eligibility for health coverage now that the rules are in their post-pandemic reality. So that means everybody in Wisconsin that had Medicaid in the last 3.5 years had to be reassessed. And mistakes were made in that process. So many people were told, nope, you're no longer eligible for Medicaid. Now you have to find another coverage source. And there might have been some mistakes made along the way.
I think a lot of people, if they're rejected from Medicaid, which we call Badger Care in part here in Wisconsin, might assume, well, I was rejected. That's the end of the story. What kind of recourse might people have, including some of the people you've been working with?
Yeah, you know, it's a function of this being a very complicated healthcare system, a healthcare coverage system included. These programs of Medicaid, Badger Care Plus, like you mentioned, and even private insurance, marketplace, job-based insurance, so many rules and nuances and complexities baked in. So I think that first blush, if somebody gets a denial, they assume that's the right answer. They'll say, well, I was told I was over income, or I was told that I didn't have the correct status for this program. And it's worth taking another look just to make sure that all of these rules and nuances were actually applied to this individual, their particular circumstance. We call our approach both health benefits counseling, where we're talking to families about their health benefits eligibility and coverage, rights and responsibilities, but we also call it precision patient advocacy, because every single metric for every patient matters, and it could be different for every single person in the home. So when health coverage programs are doing a lot of redetermining for eligibility, like Medicaid, or a lot of employer-sponsored insurance, or a lot of marketplace coverage, it just the volume of pushing people through these systems, mistakes can't get made. There are appeal rights, but there's certainly informs of doing a double check and seeing if somebody maybe was wrongfully denied.
You also, Bryn, mentioned that language issue. Now, as an English speaker, I sometimes find medical forms and medical insurance forms baffling. When they're in English, the language I actually speak, how does that barrier increase when somebody's coming from a situation where their Spanish is their first language?
Sure. And it's a real barrier. And like you said, the English to English translation on a lot of these things is not mm-hmm. easy. You know, for some folks, they're getting very complicated insurance contract language in the mail. And when you're sick, your child is sick, you've been in an accident, or you have mental or behavioral health issues, figuring out the nuances of a contract can be quite difficult. And the timelines, when to assert your right, what elements of proof you might need to provide, that can be very challenging. It's then exacerbated if maybe you're getting notices in English and you don't read English. Or maybe there are forms sent to you and they're using terms of art in the medical or legal field that you're just not familiar with. For some people, it's a lack of access to even get into a clinic or get through to a provider just because there is that language barrier. But for other people, there's that fear of not feeling like you can assert your rights because you do feel that you are different if you're not speaking the language.
We're talking to Bryn McBride, Chief Operating Officer and Public Interest Attorney at ABC for Health, talking about their efforts to help eligible people, eligible families who have a lack of access to health care, get some of the health care that they might need. Bryn, in a recent report, you talked about a patient you worked with. You didn't share the name because of confidentiality, of course, but this patient almost skipped an important surgery because they were denied, wrongfully, it turned out, health care coverage. Can you talk us through her story?
Sure. And this was just one example. And you're right. We changed the name just for confidentiality reasons. But a patient that came to us said there is a surgery that is canceled. It was supposed to be right at the turn of the calendar. So we were talking to her in December. The surgery was in early 2024. Her coverage was scheduled to end at the end of December. And she said, my option is to cancel that surgery because the price tag is $60,000. And that's what we talked about before, skipped, delayed, or denied care because of the circumstance you find yourself in because of insurance or lack of insurance. What actually came down to was that end date for her insurance was actually incorrect. It had been incorrectly assigned based on some of the complicated Medicaid rules during this period of Medicaid unwinding, where everybody was assigned an end date. The circumstances of assigning her an end date should have actually pushed her into 2024. So it was just asserting those rights on her behalf, working with the family, understanding the notices she got, the end dates. It just didn't sound right to us that she had an earlier end date for her coverage than we would have expected, and just started pushing that. You know, a lot of these conversations are cutting through some of those red tape and bureaucracies just to try to get to a right answer. It's not something we actually had to take to court or to hearing, but this is the kind of hands-on working with a family, empowering that family to assert their rights, challenging what was to us looked like a wrong answer. And indeed, we were able to get that corrected.
You mentioned earlier, part of the story here is your partnership at ABC for Health with free clinics. And part of that is a screening and referral tool called First Check Wisconsin. How does that work?
Oh, it's been really great. You know, this is a multi-pronged project. It started with that workflow change with select clinics to identify patients and send them to us. Some of that education strategy to keep the learning going with these clinic partners. And that third prong was the technology, is to say, how can we automate some of this? How can we do this better to serve more people? And First Check Wisconsin was a tool that we launched quite a while ago in many different iterations. We were able to really hone in on an interview style tool that helps the clinics meet a family, ask those important questions that we need to know, their households, the demographic questions, the income, the condition, the coverage questions, but without being too overwhelming. Still do it in about 15 to 20 questions, get the best information we can, and they're able to generate then a referral to ABC for Health that has those important metrics and gives us a heads up and a leg up in getting the work started for that patient. So the early iteration that we launched with the free and charitable clinics was a tool that was a guided interview. It did a little of the decision support. It did a little thinking for you as you went. It would say, based on the metrics you've entered, this looks like a family that might be eligible for the marketplace, or this looks like an individual that might be eligible for Badger Care Plus. It would also say this patient has a large amount of identified medical debt, so we'll need to be looking at some backdating or any way to go back in time if we can and absolve that debt. The next iteration, which we're looking forward to very soon before the end of the month, is an even further automated tool that will drop these automated interviews right into our own case management database.
Another complicating factor might be someone's immigration status. They're worried, they might be in a gray area with immigration and legality, or someone in their family might be. How big a deal is that in preventing people from getting coverage?
You know, like we said, the rules and the regulations around every single piece of coverage is so complicated. They're different metrics. You could be a green card holder, but only be in the United States for a couple of years, for 3 years, which puts you in a different category of eligibility for some health coverage than somebody that's been here for five or more years. You could be somebody that's been granted asylum or waiting for asylum, and you might have a work permit or you might not. You could be somebody that's on a student visa or a fiance visa or a work visa or a full citizen, and the permutations of this just keep growing. There's so many different status categories. Deferred action for childhood arrival. There's a rule that's changing come this fall for marketplace eligibility. So this is just one more variable that has to be paid very important attention to when you're asserting somebody's rights for one of the coverage programs for which they might be eligible. You could have a non-qualified immigrant parent with U.S. citizen children in the home, for example. That's a permutation we see all the time. And that would mean different coverage opportunities for each of those people.
Given how complicated some of this is, Bryn, I imagine that if I, ran the financial unit at a hospital or a clinic, there might be a good chance I would get things wrong. I might not be up to date on the latest rules. Are there opportunities for improvement there to make sure people aren't denied coverage that they might be entitled to?
This is a field of continuing education. There is so much to learn and it is always changing. We say we learn something every single day in this field, talking to different, hearing how the policies play out at the ground level, and then seeing the pain points, the opportunity for hospitals. They released the uncompensated care report, the Wisconsin Hospital Association did for 2023. And they said Wisconsin hospitals alone had $1.3 billion in uncompensated care in the last report. That's bad debt and charity care. That's money left on the table. That could be reinvested in healthcare or put toward making sure that people are healthy and safe in their community. So there's a big opportunity here to do better, to be more proactive, to cut through the red tape, to get rid of the medical debt for families and improve their health, but then also get some of that bad debt for hospitals.
I want to look at some of the stakes when it comes to health outcomes. Now, for one example, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Minority Health says Hispanics in the U.S. have higher rates of things like a low birth rate, obesity, other health care concerns. Some of the things we're talking about here, Spanish speakers, immigration status might be part of that story. Like, literally, are you hoping that the efforts you're making here will help tackle some of these bigger health disparities?
Oh, of course. We came into this project saying this is a social justice and a health equity project at its very core. So much that came out of the COVID pandemic was exposing the inequities in our systems. We knew there were inequities in healthcare coverage, but we certainly got a spotlight shined on a lot of them. The people left out of care and services and the people denied care and services. We've already been enforcing rights and responsibilities for a lot of these patients, pushing for systems change, closing coverage gaps, exposing inequities in things like language access, application processing, some of the mistakes that are made along the way that are low-hanging fruit that we can clean up quite easily. We said in many conversations with the state Medicaid office, with the Commissioner of Insurance, with partners, with income maintenance agencies around the state, trying to make sure that we can get on the same page, identify where the correction points need to be made, and then also celebrate our successes. You know, with the example you mentioned before, getting rid of a $60,000 potential medical liability for a family is life-changing. That changes the trajectory of their life. They can get the surgery they need, but they don't have $60,000 in medical debt hanging over their head for their future and for their children's future. So we definitely see one of the outcomes is not only eliminating some of the disclosed medical debt, you know, the 1,000 people or so that we've worked with so far came to us with well over $1 million of medical debt. Very easily, we were able to get rid of about 600,000 of that. And there's more applications still in processing to try to relieve those burdens and those stressors, not only on those patients, but then also on those free clinic partners that were meeting these patients every single day and felt like they didn't really have a place to send them for help.
Are you looking to expand this project to include more people, more patients, and more clinics?
Oh, we sure would hope to. This project is not limited by our imagination, that's for sure. We see the potential. There's so much potential to grow. We need to grow sustainably. You know, we would love to add more clinics right away, but we are a very small law firm. We're a public interest law firm that has a small staff, and we're able to make big strides and be small but very mighty in this space. So only limited by funding and capacity in that regard. So there is potential for growth. There's the potential for new applications of our tool, that First Check Wisconsin tool, and more robust technology that might be able to help more clinics without a face-to-face presence potentially, and certainly room for more education as well.
For anyone out there listening who's hit a wall when it comes to either maybe eligibility for Badger Care, where they think they should be eligible, but they're rejected, or they might think they're eligible for subsidies under the Affordable Care Act marketplace, but then they've been rejected. What do you suggest to maybe not take that first no for the final answer?
There's a lot of people out there, Rob. You know, everybody knows somebody that has a medical debt or a medical bill story, or said, you know, I thought I had insurance, I thought it was going to cover everything, but I still got this bill. You know, that's just kind of one of those unfortunate realities of this very complex healthcare financing system we're living in. Certainly, don't be afraid to assert your rights, to ask for copies of things, ask for copies of your insurance policy, ask to see the list of covered benefits. And if your costs aren't what you expected, definitely do the double check to see that your expectations meet what's on paper. And feel free to reach out for help. You know, ABC for Health is a helper for low-income families, especially in the Badger Care and Medicaid space. There are certified application counselors and navigators that help people through the marketplace, the Affordable Care Act marketplace. There are aging and disability resource centers around the state, and there are children's resource centers as well, helping with some of our younger families. So there are some helpers out there that might be able to get people pointed in the right direction. But I think that the most important key takeaway is to not just accept this.
Bryn, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
Bryn McBride is the Chief Operating Officer and Public Interest Attorney for ABC for Health.